Hey, everybody. Welcome home to the Empowerment Hour. Each and every week, this is what we do, is we have just the best show on radio going, and today is going to be further evidence of that. I'm Reverend Dabidi. I'm the regular host, as you know, of the Empowerment Hour, and this is the first time in the history of the show that I actually get to do the introduction. And in this introduction, I want you to know that this is a very emotional time for me, because I am getting the opportunity to do something that has been a dream for me when I started this show back in 2003. This is a day that I could have only dreamed about. And so what's happening is I'm going to be introducing the world now to, through the Empowerment Hour, to Louis Dor Dempree. He is a spiritual master who has come into this world to help people restore their inherent divinity and live as unconditional love. Louis Darshan, receiving his personal blessing as well as his illuminating discourses, meditations, and ceremonies, has invoked profound transformation in thousands of people of all spiritual and religious paths from all social, economic, and cultural backgrounds. With grace and humor, he imparts timeless wisdom in contemporary practical teachings, making self-mastery and true inner peace attainable for all. His life models both the journey and the victory of God realization. Louis is the subject of a recently released book entitled The Heart Always Knows, a new DVD, which is called A Voice from Eternity, An Evening with Louis Dor Dempree, and a feature-length documentary, A Great Awakening, which is scheduled for completion in 2010. The Louis Dor Dempree Foundation, a nonprofit educational organization, was established in 2007 to share Louis' teachings and humanitarian programs with the world. Louis lives at Prima Drela Ashram in Laguna Hills, California, and has ashrams and study groups worldwide. You can find out more information about Louis, his teachings, the foundation's programs, as well as ongoing events in Las Vegas, Orange County, Los Angeles, and around the world at www.louis.org. For more information about the documentary, visit www.agreatawakening.com. To contact the foundation, they have a toll-free number, which is 1-888-288-3735. I'll repeat that. That's 1-888-288-3735. His Sanskrit name is Bhagavan Sri Pranananda. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, it is just the greatest honor that I get to share something with you that is so deeply emotional, powerful, and personal to me. I told him, we have a nickname, we call him Guruji. I told him that his presence is so magnificent and so powerful that if you didn't catch our show last week, we came into full possession of thepower.com. And I realized that, wow, I mean, it's obviously he's coming, and you just feel this presence, and I had the opportunity to share that with him. And so without any further delay or ado, and with the greatest honor, and the my heart overflows with gratitude as I present to you Bhagavan Sri Pranananda.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on the Empowerment Hour. This is my first time here, and I'm really excited and very honored to be here. And I thought for our first segment, I've got four topics to cover here, and I thought since everything begins with the breath, I thought what better topic than to talk about the breath. And I want to share a wondrous technique with people called pranic breathing, P-R-A-N-I-C. And prana, as people know, is the same as chi. It's the Sanskrit word for chi. Chi is an Oriental Asian word. But prana is the life force energy, the universal life force energy, which moves through our body. It creates our body and sustains our body. And it's interesting, when we embody in our human form and people go through life living in the illusion, the experience of separation, it's interesting that there's so many things in the world that reinforce that force field of separation, and we even get trained to breathe in separation. Most people take very short wisps or gasps of air into their mouth or the back of their throat, and that's how they breathe. You know, even the best breathers take it into just the top of their neck or maybe the top of their chest. And so what happens is that keeps people cut off from the supply, of universal life force energy. And so when I teach pranic breathing, and there are many, many techniques, the underlying principle, though, for all of them, there are different ones of where you can direct the breath, how long you hold it, and consciousness imagery and other techniques you use. But the long and short of all of them is that you're drawing a slow, deep breath way, way down into the body, down into the lower abdomen, and inflating your body in all directions there. I often give people an image, say, for example, to envision a balloon. Let's say if your torso, if your trunk were hollow, that if you had a balloon sitting, if you could lower one down into your torso and it sat right at the bottom, and then picture the breath coming in and inflating that balloon in the front, in the back, side to side. If you even put your hands, the palms of your hands, on your back, say like back where it feels like where you would hold your kidneys, if you're doing a proper deep breath, you'll actually feel the expansion in the side and in the back as well. And so it's really important to draw the breath very, very slowly and deeply in. And I often recommend that people do at least 5 minutes of pranic breathing, I would say twice a day as a minimum, in the morning to get energized and in the evening as well. But if you could, do it every couple of hours. Do a good 5 minutes. You can go longer if you like. I mean, you could go for an hour. You'll wind up in some ecstatic state, most likely. And so, for instance, when I lead pranayamas, and I'll have a lot of people there on the floor, and people, you know, will be writhing and flipping like fish out of water, going into tremendously ecstatic states. If I get people going, usually within 10-15 minutes, most of the room will be in states of ecstasy or having huge, huge healings coming up, deep wailing and breathing and crying, releasing, fits of laughter. Peals of laughter, the strongest, biggest laughter they've ever experienced. And then other people have revelation and epiphany and visitations from divine beings and can feel things leaving their body. Body aches and pains vanish. The point is, the breath is the single most powerful tool we have. It is the single most powerful tool. And so I often give people a count when you're developing a pranic breathing. Inhale to the count of six, slowly and deeply without effort or strain with the chakras aligned, hold for one beat, and then exhale to the count of six, hold for one beat, and develop that pattern and keep it going. And I add to that a consciousness, what I have termed the divine breath. You inhale, I am so blessed, and then on your exhalation, you're silently, this is, radiating, I am so grateful. Because tomorrow's promised to no one, not even our next breath is promised to us. So there'd be nothing but deep, deep gratefulness in knowing how blessed we are that God is breathing us every second, every moment, inflating our lungs and beating our heart. Use this pranic breathing technique. You will feel more energized, need less sleep, need less food. You'll have so much happening in your life, and you'll attain tremendous states of peace and bliss. I wish you well with it. All right, we're going to be back. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few moments, and we'll continue. Thank you.
Have you ever wanted to see yourself from someone else's point of view? Now you can with this amazing new revolutionary technology called the Personal Time Map. Your time map uses your date of birth to show you exactly when and how things will change in your life based on the direction you choose. It also shows what your directions are in the context of time. One of the most incredible features of this simple mathematical system is every person that you're involved with right now is located and identified on your personal time map, along with the experience that is happening or will happen from your point of view. This way, you will know which direction leads to what you seek to accomplish, as well as seeing in advance who to avoid and when to avoid them. To get yours, please go to thepower.org. That's www.thepower.org.
Hey everybody, you're invited to tune into the show that everybody's talking about. Every Saturday at 7 a.m., please join me, Tabiti, for the Empowerment Hour. The Empowerment Hour uses humor, spirituality, common sense, and ancient wisdom in a way that's unavailable anywhere else, and it's guaranteed to provoke an upward shift in your perception and transform your life for the better. This way, you are better prepared for the what next in your life. If you need a boost in how you're feeling, or if you simply want your batteries recharged, then please be sure to tune in to the Empowerment Hour every Saturday at 7 a.m. here at alltalkradio.net.
Are you looking for the best place to invest money right now? Real estate is the undisputed champion of creating wealth, but today, how we define real estate must also include cyberspace. Cyberspace and physical space both require an address in order to exist. Web addresses, which are also called domain names, are the fastest growing investments in the world. The Associated Press reports that over 90,000 new web addresses are being registered every single day, and that this $2 billion industry will double over the next 2 years. You can build your personal fortune right now at lovethename.com. LoveTheName.com offers the best inventory, the best prices, and the best customer service anywhere. You'll also get the first opportunity to see and own the next generation of web addresses before anybody else. Don't let the next guy beat you to it. To make serious money in internet real estate, please go to LoveTheName.com.
We're back, and thank you for rejoining us. And I thought, since we're on the subject of healing techniques, we started with the breath to give you this wonderful empowerment and cleansing and uplifting. And now I'd like to give you a couple of other techniques to really help create a sense of wholeness and cleansing and clarity in your life, so you can start your day with a fresh slate and fully energized. The breath will get you cleansed, purified, and energized. And now I'm going to give you a technique which I call the four lower bodies clearing technique. And this is a way to clear out all the dross and impurity in your consciousness, in all four of your lower bodies, your physical body, your mental body, your emotional body, and your spiritual body. So by clearing those out, you're an empty chalice, a clean slate, and then you can move through your day and receive the highest, purest, divine imprinting of light and love. And so what you do for this technique, and it's best to do first thing in the morning as part of your meditation routine or your spiritual practices, whatever they be. This is a complete freestanding exercise, so you can do it wherever you find. If you want to do it before you go into meditation, after, but do it at the beginning of your day. And what you do with this, you get pen and paper or pencil and paper, and you do what some people call inspirational writing or free-flowing writing, where you let the pen just be the instrument through which you can freely express without being the judge. No judging, no censoring, no editing, no critiquing. You just let it flow freely. And what you do is you first focus on your physical body, and you let the pen just write whatever aches, pains, illnesses, discomfort, ailments you have, whatever is not of the highest, purest light and love in your physical body, just let the pen write it all out. And you write until the pen doesn't write anymore. I'd like to say that when I first started this technique many, many years ago, 16, 18 years ago, I would write sometimes 25, 30 pages in the morning. That's how it would start. And then as you keep going, day by day, week by week, you become more facile, and you'll find that you're writing less and less. And the reason is because the healing that you're going through is actually permanent. It's not, this is not just something just to, you know, get calm and so you can get out and go have a stressful day. This is an actual form of transcendence. This is an alchemical technique that uses this mechanism as a poultice to draw these distortions and illusions, this Maya, out of your consciousness permanently. So it will become less and less and less. So you write until there's nothing left to write. Then you go on to your mental body. All your negative thoughts about whatever and whomever. I don't like this, I don't like that. All those thoughts and opinions that are just not pure. And we all have them, so there's nothing, no reason to be, feel guilty or ashamed, but this is a technique to get it out of your body so that you can walk in the world as an emissary of pure love, so that you can be a divine chalice and vessel. And you let the pen write until all negative thoughts and non-loving thoughts are gone. Then you go on to your emotional body. Negative, non-loving feelings and emotions about whomever. You know, I feel hurt. I feel angry. You know, blah, blah, blah. You hurt me, this and that. Whatever, however it comes out. And not that I'm advocating this, but if profanity comes out, let the profanity come out. Remember, this is you're acting as a poultice to pull the poison out of your body. So it's really important that you be true to it, because inherent in doing this is your mature and wise knowing that this is not who I am. This is the distortion. These are all the aspects of my separate consciousness. This is not my true divine self as a being of light. And so it's important that you be true to that. The ownership and accountability is what empowers you to achieve the transcendence and the transfiguration. So you let it come out, all your negative emotions and feelings. And then you go on to your spiritual body. Many people get confused about, well, what is my spiritual body? Well, those are things like the questions that come up are, why am I here, and what's my purpose, and what's it all about, and is God there for me? Why does God let this happen, and why did God let my partner die, and why did God let my job get taken from me when I loved it so much, and why does, you know, the universe have to look like this? All these things that are part of the aspects of your spiritual body, your spiritual makeup. Wherever you're experiencing negativity, non-love, in that, you let the pen write it all. All those doubts and cynicism and skepticism about the spiritual aspect of your life, your existence, your purpose, you let that come out. And we all have that. Some people have more of that than the others. People with the healthiest of bodies and the most acerbic and exacting consciousness still have that whole milieu of their spiritual dominion, their spiritual realm. So you let it go. And you, like I said, you write until there's nothing left. And then what you do is you offer it up. You take the paper and you create a pyre somewhere to burn this, whether it's your fireplace or a fire ring, or many people have just a big farmer's steel pail outside in the backyard. And you crumble it up and you offer it to God. And you say, here, God, I offer this to you. This is all my distortion, all the non-truth of my life, everything that is not who I am, and I'm offering this to you to take this from me. I surrender this. I need it not. It no longer serves me. And then you light it on fire, and you watch it burn, and you know that that is alchemically being taken out of your body, and it is very, very powerful and very real. Now, I did want to, we've got a couple minutes left in this segment, so I want to give you another tool that is a really, really powerful healing tool. And this, it's amazing. I see how few people will use this. I teach this wherever I go, and people have had such resistance to this. I call it the miracle journal, and it's very different than a diary. Diary is your private confidant where you just spill everything. You know, your loves, your losses, your this, your that, your opinions, your gossip, everything. Miracle Journal is only for recording epiphanies, revelations, transcendence, alchemy, the wonderful, magical things that happened to you. And I don't mean, oh, I had a nice day. I mean the showstoppers, things that will turn a parade around, you know, miraculous healings that happen, visions that happen, encounters with divine beings. You write them down, and if you want to write out the whole story, great, but at least, at the very least, do a couple of bullets or a few sentences on it with the date and any circumstances surrounding it. And you keep this journal only for these, what I call, miracles. And it's important not to water it down and not to use negativity and gossip and other stuff in it. Keep it exclusive to this. And how you use the miracle journal, first of all, it's a great technique, just recording it. But the second thing is, whenever you find yourself in a negative or non-loving space, let's say you're depressed, you get really angry at someone, you have an encounter, an altercation, or you're feeling hopeless or despair about something, hopelessness or despair about something, you simply, and this is where the discipline comes in, you go pick up the miracle journal and you start reading. Just open it anywhere, the beginning, the middle, and you just start reading this. Because the miracle journal, while I call it a miracle journal, it's actually the truth of who you are as a divine being. This is the truth of how God created us. It's the truth of what is available to us in our lives. When anytime we get out of the way, when we rise up from the smallness, rise out of victim consciousness, every time we do that, this is what happens in our lives. So the truth is, if we were not in the smallness ever, and not ever acting out of victimhood or woe is me or look what happened to me, this, the things that are in the miracle journal would fill your whole day, because that's all that would be happening in your day most of the time. Now, I don't mean to sound Pollyanna, like nothing ever happens. Of course, you might still have a car accident or a car breakdown, and people will still die and come in and out of your life. Die, I put quotes around, there's no death, but that's another subject for another day. But people will still come in and out of your lives, and things happen. But your consciousness will be living in the experience of what's in that miracle journal, despite or regardless of circumstance. You will no longer be defined by your circumstance. You'll be defined by who you are as a divine being and emissary of light. I am pure love, living and walking in this world, and in a particular moment I might have a certain circumstance. But your constant experience of yourself will be that of divinity and grace and beauty and love. Use this miracle journal, you will be amazed. All right, we're going to have another break. Be back for more exciting fun. Thank you. Talk to you in a few.
Have you ever wanted to see yourself from someone else's point of view? Now you can with this amazing new revolutionary technology called the Personal Time Map. Your time map uses your date of birth to show you exactly when and how things will change in your life based on the direction you choose. It also shows what your directions are in the context of time. One of the most incredible features of this simple mathematical system is every person that you're involved with right now is located and identified on your personal time map, along with the experience that is happening or will happen from your point of view. This way, you will know which direction leads to what you seek to accomplish, as well as seeing in advance who to avoid and when to avoid them. To get yours, please go to thepower.org. That's www.thepower.org.
Hey everybody, you're invited to tune in to the show that everybody's talking about. Every Saturday at 7 a.m., please join me, Tabiti, for the Empowerment Hour. The Empowerment Hour uses humor, spirituality, common sense, and ancient wisdom in a way that's unavailable anywhere else, and it's guaranteed to provoke an upward shift in your perception and transform your life for the better. This way, you are better prepared for the what next in your life. If you need a boost in how you're feeling, or if you simply want your batteries recharged, then please be sure to tune in to the Empowerment Hour every Saturday at 7 a.m. here at alltalkradio.net.
Are you looking for the best place to invest money right now? Real estate is the undisputed champion of creating wealth, but today, how we define real estate must also include cyberspace. Cyberspace and physical space both require an address in order to exist. Web addresses, which are also called domain names, are the fastest growing investments in the world. The Associated Press reports that over 90,000 new web addresses are being registered every single day, and that this $2 billion industry will double over the next 2 years. You can build your personal fortune right now at lovethename.com. Lovethename.com offers the best inventory, the best prices, and the best customer service anywhere. You'll also get the first opportunity to see and own the next generation of web addresses before anybody else. Don't let the next guy beat you to it. To make serious money in internet real estate, please go to lovethename.com.
And we're going into a new topic here. Going to digress from those healing techniques. Now we're going to go on to some other wonderful concepts. Though I suppose you could say this one's a healing technique too in another way. This topic I'd like to talk about is the topic of tithing, T-I-T-H-I-N-G. Now, many people don't understand the true concept of tithing, or much less the underpinnings of it, whence it came, what it means, and why it's so important. While people, there are many, many people who will give a few dollars here and support this or that, it's important and really mandatory to tithe because it's a universal law. Tithing fulfills the law of creation, and without tithing, energy only moves halfway around the cycle of life, the cycle of the wheel of creation. Now, most people have probably heard, as you sow, so shall you reap tenfold. And most people think that's a complete thought. That's only half of the law of creation. The other half of the law of creation is, as you reap, so do you return to source one-tenth. And then the energy goes all the way around the wheel. Now, in nature, you can see this. Farmers who live, let's say, out in the wilderness where they have your farms, if you harvested all your crops and ate them, you no longer have a farm. Farmers have to keep 10% of their seeds, of their crops, to grow, to go to seed. Otherwise, they have no crops next year. You have to give 10% back into the universe in order to create anew. And so the farm improves and increases and the crops expand. It's the same with what we generate and create in our lives with financial remuneration and with everything. So tithing fulfills the law of creation. It's a universal law that must be obeyed. And the truth is, so long as people do not tithe, poverty will exist on this planet. So one of my strongest and biggest missions in this world, in this embodiment, is to teach this to the world and to see that it becomes, that this divine law becomes human law. Eventually, it's my goal and intention to have it be part of the tax systems in all countries. You know, and I don't want to get into the details of how that can go about, but this does need to become human law, that we give 10% back to the universe, to creation. Now, there are many ways to go about this. And beyond the 10% of tithe, and that is on the gross, I had someone ask me, is that on gross or net? Yes, it's on the gross. God does not meter out its gifts, his, her gifts to us. God beats our heart freely and inflates our lungs, and the sun, you know, is always shining. It's unequivocal. It's uncompromised. So, yes, it's on the gross. Now, beyond the 10%, yes, give freely and give often. The more, all life is about giving and sharing. Now, it's important that to understand the highest place to tithe, where it will have the greatest alchemy, impact, and powers of manifestation and transcendence, is to tithe first. The first 10% needs to go to the source or place which gives you your spiritual nourishment. Because in our human bodies, we need air, food, and water to sustain our physical form. But our physical form is not only a molecule of who we are, but we're only in it for a few decades here, you know, 70 to 100 years. But your soul is eternal and immortal. And the only element you need to sustain eternal life is love. So therefore, whatever brings that love, that spiritual sustenance into your life, that's the most important element that sustains you. And therefore, your tithing should go to that, to source, bless, thank, and empower that to continue. And that's what fulfills the wheel. So, for instance, if you have a particular, if it's a church, let's say, you're really devout in a congregation with a church, your tithing needs to go to that. That's where the most powerful place it could go. If you have a spiritual teacher or master or a guru, tithe there, because that one's life is devoted to serving and sourcing you, and that helps alleviate the daily burdens of that person's life, so that one can then serve you and other people, bring those blessings to others. Same principle with the church. Some people do not belong to a church or a religion, and they don't have a guru or a master or a teacher. Maybe it's your therapist. You know, maybe you've had a therapist or a counselor who's been so instrumental in your growing peace and happiness. You need to tithe there. And that's over and above whatever they charge for the hour. If this is a universal law, and the best way to understand it is that the money does not belong to you. A lot of people say, oh, I've got debt. Once I clear my debt, once I get my kids through school, once I buy the new car. Let me put it simply. Whoever does not tithe is stealing from the universe, and therefore you are creating karma and suffering in your life. That may not come out into your life financially, but it has to take a bite out of your life somewhere because you're stealing from the universe. The money that goes to tithing, just like the seeds with the farmer, does not belong to you, to any of us. We do not own it, so we don't have a say or a right to withhold it. And when everyone in the world is tithing, there will be no more poverty anywhere in the world. I can guarantee you that. Because poverty was created the moment man began hoarding, that cord to the infinite supply was cut, and poverty was created. The great scientist Isaac Newton, said, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Well, God did not create poverty, humans did, by hoarding. And the hoarding came from a poverty consciousness of, God's not there for me, God won't take care of me, there's not enough, so I'll have to take care of myself. And you see how the world lives by these axioms. Survival of the fittest, kill or be killed, look out for number one. Those are all axioms and mission statements of separateness, of weak faith, no faith, lack of belief in God. We have this creator who created our bodies, the trees, the animals, all the jewels in the world and abundance. And we don't think that God can scrape up a few breadcrumbs to feed us and put clothing on our backs. So we have to get back into that knowing and trusting and believing that we are created by the infinite, the all-powerful infinite creator itself, who has everything and gives us everything. When we restore that faith and that knowingness, and we have the understanding that tithing fulfills the law of creation, then we get back in that flow, and then the magic just happens. It's also really important to, and again, I said beyond the 10%, give freely everywhere and anywhere, but tithe first to the place or person which most or who most gives you your spiritual nourishment. Now, it's important to tithe with love and blessing and gratitude. Remember, if you sow bitter seeds, you will harvest bitter fruit. So while a bitter tithe will still bless the recipient, you mitigate, you shortchange yourself, shrink the blessings that come back to you if you're not tithing with gratefulness. It's got to be out of the beneficence of your heart. This is my greatest joy, and I'm so grateful, God, for all that I have. Let me give back to you. And it's also important to give without expectation. Now, the reason I say that is tithing will create tremendous abundance in your life, and I mean financially, as well as health, as well as happiness, inner peace, centeredness, calm, but it will create financial abundance. But it's also important that you're not tithe solely for the reason of making money. When I began tithing, I simply was taught the principle, and it made sense. I said, of course, I mean, this, you know, dates all the way back to the Essenes, you know, and before Jesus. And as soon as I heard that, I said, this makes perfect sense. I started tithing. The first year my income doubled, the second year my income tripled, you know, and it's just, but I wasn't doing it to make money. I was doing it because I'm supposed to, because this is the law of creation. So don't tithe to be a moneymaker. Tithe because you're supposed to, and you know that's not your money. This belongs back to the universe. And what happens is you'll start seeing the blessings ripple out in your life and in society, and you'll see how many, many more groups and organizations whose focus and goal to help and serve others will become empowered and take and they'll take root in the world and grow strong and successful. And then you'll see things that are anchored or based in corruption, greed, avarice, competition. Those will start to dwindle. I mean, this is what's happening in the world anyway. If you look at the industries that are now starting to have trouble, and other topics, talk about it. So you'll watch the magic happen, and you'll see how much power you actually have to make change in the world as well as in your life. All right, we're going to have a break. I'll be back in a few moments. Stay tuned.
Ever wanted to see yourself from someone else's point of view? Now you can with this amazing new revolutionary technology called the Personal Time Map. Your time map uses your date of birth to show you exactly when and how things will change in your life based on the direction you choose. It also shows what your directions are in the context of time. One of the most incredible features of this simple mathematical system is every person that you're involved with right now is located and identified on your personal time map, along with the experience that is happening or will happen from your point of view. This way, you will know which direction leads to what you seek to accomplish, as well as seeing in advance who to avoid and when to avoid them. To get yours, please go to thepower.org. That's www.thepower.org.
Hey everybody, you're invited to tune in to the show that everybody's talking about. Every Saturday at 7 a.m., please join me, Tabiti, for the Empowerment Hour. The Empowerment Hour uses humor, spirituality, common sense, and ancient wisdom in a way that's unavailable anywhere else, and it's guaranteed to provoke an upward shift in your perception and transform your life for the better. This way, you are better prepared for the what next in your life. If you need a boost in how you're feeling, or if you simply want your batteries recharged, then please be sure to tune in to the Empowerment Hour every Saturday at 7 a.m. here at alltalkradio.net.
Are you looking for the best place to invest money right now? Real estate is the undisputed champion of creating wealth, but today, how we define real estate must also include cyberspace. Cyberspace and physical space both require an address in order to exist. Web addresses, which are also called domain names, are the fastest growing investments in the world. The Associated Press reports that over 90,000 new web addresses are being registered every single day, and that this $2 billion industry will double over the next 2 years. You can build your personal fortune right now at lovethename.com. LoveTheName.com offers the best inventory, the best prices, and the best customer service anywhere. You'll also get the first opportunity to see and own the next generation of web addresses before anybody else. Don't let the next guy beat you to it. To make serious money in internet real estate, please go to LoveTheName.com.
Welcome back, and thank you again for having me. Having a lot of fun. Our last segment today, I'm going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that's living in grace. There are two primary underpinnings or aspects of living in grace. One of them, as I teach it, is walking, breathing, thinking, living in the consciousness and in the ongoing beingness of leaving every space more beautiful than you found it. And this, if you hold that as a mantle, as a mission statement in your consciousness, wherever you go, whatever you do, you obviously clean up after yourself, but also add a little bit. Let's say let me say the two principles, and then I'll start to flesh them out. The second one is making every act a sacred act. And these are the two aspects to hold in your consciousness, and now I'll give you some application. Suppose you're having a picnic somewhere. You're in a park, and you're at a picnic table, and, of course, you don't litter, and you clean up all your place and clean the table. And then perhaps when you think of, leave every space more beautiful than I found it, maybe you'll go and clean the table next to you. This is a beautiful thing to do. Or you, when you go to put your trash in the bin, you see some trash on the ground around the bin, pick that up too. And in terms of trash, I often tell people to have bags with you, and wherever you go, if you're walking, you know, and you see something on the ground, when you step over trash, it's just one step away from basically having thrown it yourself. Because Mother Earth doesn't have any arms but ours. God has no hands but yours. You know, and Mother Earth has no arms but ours. So when you step over trash, you might as well have thrown it. Now, I want to qualify the statement by saying it doesn't mean that you have to be all obsessive and neurotic about it and feel guilty if you step over something. I understand if you're carrying a baby in one arm and you've got, you know, groceries in the other arm, you can't put all that down sometimes. But I think people know what I'm describing. You know, when you're walking along and it's just so obvious and so easy to pick up something, to get in that consciousness. Now, also think of this. When you think of the law of oneness, that everything not only is one and the same, but everything, even on a less empirical level, everything is interconnected. So when someone picks up some trash somewhere that they did not throw, an oil spill was just averted somewhere else in the world. When you clean up a table, some children, poor children, were just fed somewhere else in the world. And conversely, you throw a piece of trash and you just created an oil spill. Now people think, oh, you're being dramatic, you're being exaggerating. This is fact. This is actual fact. It works this way. This is alchemical and it's interconnected because we are all one. There's only one cell, one organism, one being on the whole planet, and that is you. And so the 7 billion people on the planet, as well as all the animals, crystals, plants, everything, is simply an outpicturing of the many, many infinite aspects of you. But there is only you. And the world, all out of creation, is simply a hologram of outwardly projected images for us to see, reflect upon, learn, integrate the totality of our divine presence and our divine existence. And that's why outer creation exists. So holding that consciousness would inspire one and prompt one to walk in the world with another mission statement of, it's all up to me. If I truly know that I'm the only person on the planet, then it's all up to me. You know, I don't need to wait for someone else to do it. Don't step over something and wait for someone else. If you see something that needs to be fixed, you fix it. If you need someone that needs help, you know, you're driving down the street or walking, you see someone needing help carrying something or opening a door or crossing the street, you just drive by and say, oh, poor thing, hope someone stops. Well, that someone is you. Hold it in your consciousness that there is no one else. One of the things I used to often think about is, what if that was my mother there? And, you know, and she's 3,000 miles away from me. I would hope that if my mom were stranded on the street, that someone would be kind enough to stop and help her. And I hope that that person wouldn't be the rude person thinking, oh, poor lady, I hope someone helps her. Be the one. Be the change. You be the miracle. Don't wait for someone else. Now, living in grace also applies to your surroundings, your office, your car, the interior of your car. I see some people that look like an atomic bomb went off in their car. People that just, they're really like dumpsters, like trash bins. And they just throw everything in. And, you know, we've all heard the phrase, cleanliness is next to godliness. But again, that's only half of a universal principle. Sloth and filth and decrepitness is next to darkness, next to evil. So when you create grace, live in grace and create beauty and grace in your environment, that invokes grace. It invokes divine presence. It invokes angels and beings who want to be around that beauty and grace. And it invokes blessing and empowerment and healing and transcendence in your life. And the reverse is also true. We live in a world that was designed through the concept of bipolar opposites, of duality, yin and yang. So when you keep your body dirty and smelly, unshowered, wear smelly, dirty clothes that aren't washed, keep your hair and body unkempt, leave your house a mess, your car a mess, your office and desk a mess, that invokes darkness. It virtually, I wish sometimes I could put my celestial perception into people's eyes for a few moments. Sometimes it does happen through Darshan and Shaktipat. But I really wish I could do that for the whole masses. Maybe one day God will grant me that boon. Because what happens when you do that, it rents tears in your auric field, and darkness and demons enter your auric field, and they feast on you like a buffet. I watch people going down the street and see people in their sloth and their slovenliness, and the demons I can see eating at them, they don't even know. And people think, from watching all those movies in the 70s, people think darkness and demons is like The Exorcist, where, you know, some guy in a red suit's holding a trident and has a big, long red tongue like Gene Simmons from Kiss. There are many, many subtle ways that demons and darkness feast and eat away at people, and they don't even know it. And some of the most powerful ways, tiredness, lethargy, depression, disorientation, lack of drive, lack of passion, lack of focus, much of that, 70-80% of it, is demonic energies, entities, eating at people because they don't live in grace, because they don't, you know, they don't have their mouth in grace. Speaking with profanity, oh my God, if people could see what that does to your aura, oh my God, every time you say a foul, a curse word, you know, and I hear some New Age people saying, oh, I have no energy on that, God loves me anyway. Well, that was never in question if God loves you. The real question is, how much do you love yourself to speak such filth? And you may not have any energy on that, but the people around you do. If you're saying F this, F that, and it means nothing to you, it means a lot to the people around you. So it is affecting them, and you are creating negative karma. You're putting filth into the world and darkness and evil, and it's going to come back upon you. So have some energy on that. Be accountable. Be responsible. When you make meals, make them with love and kindness and gratitude and bless them. Another part of living in grace is bless everyone and everything all the time. If you have two people standing side by side making the same sandwich to feed to two individuals, and one of them is in a filthy, angry space, and the other one is in a sweet, loving, grateful space, blessing, singing love songs over the food and blessing it and saying, may this bring peace and happiness to your life. And then they feed those two identical sandwiches to people. One person ate filth and poison, and the other person ate love and beauty. Because remember, it's not the food that sustains us. Excuse me. We live on prana. We live on universal life force energy. So when you bless things and bless the food, your people are eating the blessing. The food is only the carrier for the energy that sustains us. So if you're in a filthy space, go clear yourself or don't make the meal because you'll be poisoning someone. Remember, there's a universal principle that overlies and is the foundation of this, and that is the consciousness you are in when you create is what you create. Another thing about living in grace is we talked about your body, your grooming, your room, your office, your car, your attire. Sacredness of meals, create sacred space in your meals, candles, soft ambient music, or just peace and harmony at the table. Don't chit-chat and gossip and bring business to the table. Mealtime is one of the most sacred times of the day. It's for holy communion with each other, with the divine. Live in grace, apply these principles, and you will see magic in your life like you could not imagine. I give you this with my blessing, and I thank you for being with me, for listening to me, and thank you so much, Reverend, for having me on the show. I am so blessed and I'm so grateful. Namaste, and I hope to talk to you again. Well, we are-
and it's